Enjoy the film.
You want butter on your popcorn?
The theater will be ready in a second.
Quick, get the bag over his head. He's trying to wiggle free. Henry, do you have any weaknesses we can exploit?
Yeah, hit him with the cat. Put him in the chair.
Okay.
Tie him up.
I've got this extension cord. We'll wrap it around him.
Wow, you're doing that very calmly. Okay. Wow, he's tied up. That was quick.
All right.
Actually, he didn't really put up that much of a struggle. Oof. Yeah, I think the cat kind of deactivated him for the last little bit there.
Yeah, the cats really seem to have an effect on these people. To be clear, this is Henry's clone that we have tied to a chair right now.
Well, why are you telling me that?
I was trying to express that to our listeners.
Oh, are you recording?
Yeah, I figured I would hit record in the middle of our struggle to tie him to a chair.
Is that what these headphones are?
Just so we could jump right into the episode.
That's very efficient.
That is.
That's forward thinking of you.
Production value. Thy name is Kyle.
Here, real quick, I'm going to put my microphone right next to Henry's clone and see if he has anything to add to this conversation. What do you have to say?
Hi, I'm Henry Harrison.
Wow.
That's to be expected.
That's honestly kind of spooky.
That is insane. I can't tell which one is which.
Well, the one tied to the chair.
I'm the real one. The one tied to the chair
is
not
the
real
one. Right.
So yeah, we spent the last week tracking down this clone of Henry. He took us on quite the excursion.
Quite the journey. He took us all around.
A wild goo chase, am I right?
Oh, good one, Henry.
We did follow a lot of gooey footprints.
Henry Prime.
Yeah, we'll call you Henry Prime, and the other one, just Henry.
Okay. Well, we'll know. If he doesn't say Prime, he's the fake.
He's the fake. He's the phony. Yeah, geez, he took us on quite the wild goo chase. All around to the surrounding towns.
Mm-hmm.
He took us to Lallyport. He took us to Corner Street, the town. He took us to Cranberry Alley, also
a different town.
The town, yeah.
He took us right up and down Boulevard, the town.
And then back here, which is like, man, we could have probably just gone to the Goo Factory because we knew it was going to... I knew it was going to end up there.
They all seem to end up there regardless. But yeah, chasing around a wet, naked version of you, Henry, really, just all week. What an experience.
What an exciting time, honestly. It was crazy.
Which I will say, put in perspective, it really put in perspective like how empty Timberdale feels right now. Because those towns had, you know, people in them.
We met a lot of people. And your clone certainly did a lot of sightseeing.
He made a lot of friends. When we would pass through the townspeople, we'd be like, oh, it's Henry Harrison. And I'd be like, how do you... Oh, yep. Yeah, it is.
Oh, you're wearing clothes like, now, Henry.
We loved you when you were here naked earlier. And I said, well, that's...
Everyone always
that's
does.
That's nice.
But yeah, he really... Going through these towns, he really seemed to be like... collecting information almost. He like found the local museum. He would go to the post office and rifle through the mail. Just
talking with
studying.
People. Yeah, studying. He went to a plethora of libraries. But you see, another thing that I find so fascinating about this clone, not only the fact that it's a goo covered clone that is just parading in the nude around the townships, this clone also made so many friends without speaking a word other than, hi, my name is Henry Harrison.
I think that just goes back to how personable of a guy Henry is and how, I mean, you, when I met you, Henry, way, way back, we became fast friends and I think I was drawn to your positive energy. Even if certain aspects of you haven't transferred to this clone, certain physical traits... I think the gist of what Henry is was brought over.
Oh, Kyle, what is this sappy shit you're doing?
Sorry.
What the hell is... Henry, are you... Henry Prime, are you listening to this?
Yeah, it sounds like he's freaking in love with me, this chump.
What are you going to...
What are you
like
me?
Get the tears out of
I
your
do
eyes,
like
you goof.
Listen, it's been a big week for us. We left in Timberdale more than we ever have. And we had this collective journey. I don't know. I feel like I bonded with the two of you quite a bit.
Wow.
Well, if you like Henry Harrison so much, why don't you marry him?
Oh! Kyle, your response.
I think I misremembered that warmth and kindness.
You rube.
I take it back.
Man. Well,
but anyway.
Yeah.
Apart from having a bonding adventure and finding the treasure that is friendship along the way, we finally made it to the Goo Factory.
We mm-hmm. did. And Linda is up in a balcony above the warehouse floor.
And the floor is full of clones, we assume.
We assume they're clones because they were all nude and covered in gooed.
But it was like the whole town basically was down there.
Yeah.
They were all just nude and gooed.
Nude and gooed. They were all making coat racks. And we were hiding behind some barrels, some big old barrels filled with coat racks.
Well, Greg, you were standing up straight. Henry and I were crouched, but we've established that you're not very good at being inconspicuous when you sneak into places.
Well, you know what? I think it was fine because while you two were crouched, I may have been standing behind barrels, but I was as naked as the day I was born.
Yeah, we know. We were about waist level with you.
Yeah.
You're welcome, world. You're welcome.
So we decided, you know, that was the best method. We all stripped down. We all got nude and gooed.
Mm-hmm. Nude and gooed. We were lathering each other up with that goo.
It was, like I said, a bonding experience.
Uh-huh.
I feel closer than ever
Kyle
to the two of you.
Fell in love with me all over again.
Oh, I tell you, he was making some puppy dog eyes. You rube.
Tell me you didn't feel anything.
Oh,
this is
something.
This is a life or death situation. We're pulling pins. We're the mystery lifter guys, and we're all naked and covered in goo.
We're pulling pins and dropping pants.
I can't think of a time I felt more vulnerable.
Yeah,
Kyle, that's beautiful. You rube.
Oh yeah, damn it.
Oh boy.
So anyway.
So we're wandering out into the crowd.
Yeah, we're wandering out. We're mingling. We're
you know, bumping elbows.
Yeah, bumping elbows, being like, hey, my name is Greg. Hey, my name is Greg. My name is Greg. We weren't all saying that, of course.
No.
No, just Greg.
Yeah.
I was saying Kyle.
And Henry, you were saying?
Henry Harrison.
So we were going through, and, you know, just slowly getting ourselves closer to where... to where we could get some more information on what Linda was doing. What Linda was doing, like, where was Tommy? Like, we were still following Henry's clone. Henry's clone was making his way through the crowd as well. He went up a little spiral staircase.
You all know what that is.
It was a stylish spare staircase on the side. It was one just put to the side.
It was next to a better... like, a fine staircase, but this one was
It was a
more
nice
stylish.
Staircase. But it was a bit more stylish. It had it had some, what do you call, suede on the steps. Some suede on the steps.
It had some ornate architecture. It was, honestly,
gorgeous.
It was an unnecessary staircase, though, because there was a straight one next to it. But it was a spare staircase.
But anyway, the point is that Henry's clone.
He went up that one.
So we're climbing up this spiral staircase.
Mm-hmm. We're climbing it
one
up.
One step at a time.
I'm stopping every so often and be like, ooh, marble.
Try not to slip because her feet are still gooey.
Mm-hmm. We're slipping and a sliding, moving and a grooving.
And so Linda's been at the top looking down over this factory. She's been standing behind this like really tall podium. So from below, we could only see her from the neck up, I would say. And she was just sort of observing everyone. But when we get to the top of the stairs, we finally get a full view of Linda.
And what a view we got.
She was... nude and gooed.
Oh.
Stark raving nude.
And she says, hi, I'm Linda.
This is a shocking revelation.
And this is about the time things start to click.
Linda, the Linda we thought was controlling the clones, was a clone. And I immediately thought back to last week when we first encountered Linda. She was also naked at that time.
Petting a cat.
I guess I just didn't put the pieces together at that point.
I didn't think too much of it at the time.
Mm-mm. No.
So we start hitting her with a cat.
Yeah, Greg, to your credit, you jump right in there with the cat.
Yeah.
And at that moment, I grabbed my clone while you were hitting Linda with a cat that may or may not have still been alive.
And then out from the back room, here comes Tommy, fully clothed. Tommy the South.
Yeah, fully clothed.
And then he starts to speak. And he doesn't just say, hi, I'm Tommy. He says, So you figured it out, huh? And we said, no, not really.
Yeah, we're, and he we're said, sitting well, there. We're like, well, no. We're,
let me explain then.
He says to us, he's like, and he doesn't have that dumb voice that he normally has. He normally has this stupid voice where he's like, except he's saying words.
Oh, I do want to say, I really think that was just our impression of him. I haven't interacted with Tommy directly in a long time. I don't think he ever actually sounded like that.
I think, I know.
From what
I
know
about
Tommy, that's pretty accurate.
He did seem very eloquent and well-spoken, more so than usual.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he came out, he said, yes, my good lad, my name is Thomas.
He also sounded vaguely like Sean Connery.
Well, let me explain.
Or Alan Rickman.
A little Sean Connery, Alan Rickman action. And he's saying to us, he's saying, all of my life, I've had to live in the shadow of my mother and my father. Two entrepreneurial geniuses.
Well, one a genius.
Yeah, and the other a pseudo.
The other one owns an aquarium.
A petting aquarium.
And even calling it an aquarium is a stretch. It's a kiddie pool with an octopus in it.
The fact he got an octopus is impressive, but
yeah.
Anyway.
So and he continues going.
That poor octopus.
That poor octopus. I grew up with it as a brother.
And if I was neglected, that octopus had the opposite problem.
It was paid too much attention.
So he basically reveals that this is a plan that he has had in the works for decades. Since
so long.
He spent his entire life pretending to be a racist piece of shit, driving around in his car with a Confederate flag on it, just being the general worst.
Dick.
And when it turns out he was just working he was playing the long game, and the long game ended up here with a bunch of naked clones working on building coat racks for a purpose that he explained right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
Take it, one of you.
He said, I've been working for decades on this plan. It all began back at the octopus exhibit when I discovered the green goo. It powered all of my technological advances. It's what developed this technology. And he pulls a lever on the wall, and green goo starts to pour out and flood the factory.
Mm-hmm.
And so at this point, we're concerned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody on the floor seems concerned. They're just kind of working
around
the goo.
They just keep working.
And we look at each other. We're like, we got to go now. It doesn't matter what the explanation
is. Yeah, grab your clone, Henry, and let's get out of here.
So we flee the factory. We're able to slide down the auxiliary mm-hmm. fire
we
pole.
We slip and slide.
The stylo pole.
Which was gorgeous.
And as we're running down up the side of the valley off of Hilltop mm-hmm. Hill, the factory explodes.
Yeah, just like erupts with goo. Like it filled to the brim and then just popped.
A gooruption.
Thank you. That helps to explain what it is.
And so we ran back here.
Watched a movie.
Watched a movie.
Yeah, we watched a movie really quick. We read an email, watched a movie.
And then tied up your clone.
And then we tied up my clone after the movie and hit record while we were doing
it. And that brings us to this moment right here. So we still don't know the exact extent of Tommy's plan, but we know he's the true mastermind. Linda seems to be a victim just like everyone else in this town. And we've captured a clone.
And where is everybody? Where are all the real towns?
I guess that'll be a mystery to solve next time.
We're going to have to lift that one.
That we are. But for now, should we just get the podcast started?
Sure, might as well.
Yeah, let's talk about the movie.
Yeah. Welcome to Breaker by the Cineplex. My name is Kyle McClinsky.
My name is Greg Basil.
I'm Henry Prime Harrison.
Yeah.
Let's have your clone introduce himself as well, since that's the one thing he can do.
Oh, sorry, let me take this.
Oh, let's take the tape off.
I'm Henry Harrison.
Perfect.
That's
all
what
right.
A liar would say.
Great. Put the cat down. Put the cat down.
Goddamn.
I'm sorry.
He didn't say Prime.
He didn't say it.
I mean, you're right. It is the clone, but he's completely incapacitated. So we did watch a movie this week, just moments ago, that did come to us via email from a listener.
Yes.
I'm just going to go ahead and read the email. Here we go. Hey guys.
Hey.
I was digging through a box of old VHS tapes and found an oldie but goodie. Pogo a go-go. This 60s era beach party bonanza is out of this world. You guys definitely need to check this one out. Let me know if any of you figured out what the pogo stick really was before the big reveal at the end. Happy watching. Heart emoji, Allie. Heart emoji, winky face.
Allie.
Let's just run through really quick. Thank you, Allie.
Yes.
Did you guys figure out what the pogo stick was? I didn't.
I had no idea. That twist blew me away.
It threw me for a loop, I'll tell you that much. I'm still not sure what the pogo stick was.
Oh.
And they explained it.
They did pretty blatantly once they got to that point in the film.
Pretty thoroughly. Yeah.
So this movie came from Allie, who has sent us a movie before. Allie sent us Pickle Weasel's Discombobulated Pet Mongoose way back. So thanks for sending a new movie.
Wow.
Pogo a go go.
Thank you so much, Allie. Repeat customer.
So yes, let's dive right into this 60s era beach party bonanza.
Yes, indeed.
So we open on the 1960s.
At a beach party.
It's a calendar shot of the 1967.
Yes.
1967.
May.
To be
and
specific.
The Beach Boys are playing.
Yeah. The Beach Boys are playing.
They're playing there, and they're playing one of their hits, Beach Party 5, A Rumble in the Sand.
We all know this song. Greg, will you give us a sample of Beach Party 5, A Rumble in the Sand by the Beach Boys?
Of course. It starts off by going, a doo-da, be-ba, doo-doo-da, da-bwee-ba, be-doo-doo-da, boo-ba, doo-be-ba, de-be-da-doo-ba-da. And it kind of goes like that. The lyrics come in, and the lyrics, I'm not much of a lyricist myself, but the words, they go on about something like it's the time right now, come and cuddle close to me, girl. And the sunset.
It's the time to be alive.
It's May 1967.
Dead people can suck it.
1967.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a hit.
Summer of Love.
Yeah.
Yeah, we remember. Everybody knows this song.
Right. Let's not spend too much time on it because we do all know the song.
This is a classic.
Because while the song is playing, we zoom out from the calendar.
Yeah, the calendar was stapled to the lifeguard, tower.
And the lifeguard's there. Putting on suntan lotion,
humming along to the song,
and he's crossing off the days. And there's, you can see at the end of the, on the Friday that week, there's a beach bonanza going on,
a big one,
a big beach bonanza. and this is when we meet our main characters, a little group of kids, a little group of
teens.
They're also called we've got well, let's just go through all of their names right now.
Mm-hmm.
We've got
Corey,
Darcy, Lally,
Mac,
Corbin, Cisco,
Gary,
and Chartreuse.
Chartreuse, that was the one. Yep,
Gary and Chartreuse. They were a couple.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not at the start.
Not at the start. No, no,
but
I'm so sorry.
They certainly turned into
it. I'm sorry to jump forward, pogo stick style.
No, they jump upward. They don't jump forward. It's an up and down motion.
so we go over to them, and they're playing some beach volleyball. So they're all having a hoot and
they're
a half.
They're having a hoot and a half.
Yeah, now the two teams are Corey, Lally, Corbin, and Cisco versus Darcy, Mac, Gary, and Chartreuse.
Yes.
Just to paint the picture further.
Right.
All of these characters play an equal role in this film, to be clear.
Yes. We each of them has a very unique personality and unique dialogue to go along with.
Yeah.
So Corey stubs his toe on a pogo stick while they're playing beach volleyball.
Yeah, this pogo stick's been buried in the sand for some reason.
There's a big red X over it.
And Corey stubs his toe and he says, "Ow, my toe." And Lally comes over and says,
Corey, did you stub your toe?
He says, yeah.
And Mac is like, that's what you get for trying to show off.
And Corey comes back at Mac and he's like, Mac, why don't you step back? I was just trying to show you that I could that I could moonwalk on the beach
during our game.
Sorry, so he stubbed his heel. he stubbed his heel on the scooter or on the pogo stick.
It was Corbin who stubbed his toe on the scooter.
Yes, Corbin stubs his toe on the scooter.
Right.
Basically, throughout the course of this game, they realize that the sand is just full of various
modes of transportation.
Modes of transportation.
It's a big sandbox. And all these toys buried here are the toys of children that have left them and grown up. And they're like, and Corey then says, well, we can't let, our childhood just go to waste. We gotta have a big bonanza. And so they do.
And Chartreuse comes over and Chartreuse is like, what a great idea. I have an idea as well. Let's have that bonanza on the night of the bonanza this weekend.
Yeah, let's just merge our bonanzas. There's already one happening.
And Greg comes over and says, it'll be a bonanza.
And Mac is like, Corey, you can't just like have an idea like that and just claim it to be your own when we already had a bonanza plan for this Friday.
Right, Mac is very about citing your sources and not taking credit for things that
he's
are
all about ribbing Corey.
Yeah.
There's some sort of tension there.
There's some tension there.
So they all start digging around in the sand, which Corey has dubbed the sand box, and they all find a different sort of childish mode of transportation. So Corey's got a pogo stick, Corbin's got a scooter, Darcy finds a tricycle.
Lolly finds a jump rope. Well.
Which is really stretching the definition of a mode of transportation.
Maybe the least efficient way to get around.
Cisco finds a skateboard.
Yeah.
Chartreuse finds a dune buggy.
And Gary just finds a pair of shoes that doesn't fit him, which is unfortunate.
It's an old pair of sandals that are mismatched.
Yeah, mismatched sandals.
So they're all cruising along the beach here. Some are faring better than others.
Poor Lolly's getting left in the lurch.
Yeah, as well as, Gary's doing better than Lolly, even without sandals that fit or match. But
he's flopping along.
And Chartreuse is like, just hop on the back of my dune buggy. Let's go. And so they all hop on the dune buggy.
All of them.
And you know, they're hanging on the side. The Beach Boys start to play again.
Mm-hmm.
Their other hit. What was the other hit that they had?
Cruising on the beach in a dune buggy made for seven. Or eight.
And that or one eight. Goes, One, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
We all know it. We don't need to get into it. We all know the song.
Get into this. It's the same album.
Right. Their 1967
album. Their classic 1967 album from the Beach Boys. You know. What was the title of that album?
That album was entitled the night the Beach Bonanza was made.
The night the Beach Bonanza was made.
Was amazed.
So anyway,
it's was very amazed. Experimental.
So they're cruising along at a nice clip thanks to Chartreuse's dune buggy when they suddenly come to a screeching halt because there's this guy standing in their path. It seemed like Chartreuse was ready to just like ride right over this guy, but Mac was like, who's usually ribbing Corey, but instead in this case called out Chartreuse, said, hey, we should stop before you hit that guy. He's kind of a goody two shoes.
Goody two shoes, Mac.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a big tool.
So there's this elderly man standing there. He's got like a hook hand, a scraggly beard. He looks like an old sailor who's hanging out on this beach. And he's standing there stone-faced as they screech to a halt in front of him, covering him in sand. And he says, where did you get those items?
And they say, so listen, bro. So I stubbed my heel back there, and then we started digging around in the, you know, we call it the sandbox because there's all these cool things over there. And he says, yar, it does not matter. What matters here is that you put them back when you're done.
These items are cursed.
Nah, man. We're going to put them back. No worries, brother.
No worries, dude. I mean, kill your jets, man.
And the sailor says, if you don't, be warned. Something terrible will happen on the eve of the final night of the work week, which be Friday. And then they all sort of like look at each other like a little concerned. And when they look back, the guy is gone.
He's gone.
And Corey's like, we don't work. And then they creep cruising in the dune buggy.
Right. Cisco's like, hey, Corey, did you mean what you said and that we'll put these back when we're done? And Corey was like, nah, bro, I'm not scared of whoever that guy was.
Listen, man, I'm never going to be done. I'm going to live forever. And then they keep cruising.
They're like, time to go to the let's spend the rest of the week waiting for the Friday night and the big bonanza, doing nothing of note.
So they park the dune buggy and they just crash on the beach.
Yeah. Sit.
They nestle up on some driftwood and sleep for the rest of the week.
They start a little fire there, and yeah, they kind of just sit there. Somebody pulls out a guitar. I don't know who the hell pulls out a guitar, but somebody did.
I believe that was Gary.
It was Gary.
Okay.
Gary's the musician of the group.
Right, and it's part of what made Chartreuse start thinking maybe there's a romantic connection I want to start
because
he plays that classic Beach Boys
exactly
song.
called Waitin'
Sex on the Beach.
And that one's a slower one. It goes doom boom 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 boom
boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom.
They really like to mix time signatures on that one.
It was very experimental.
Yeah, yeah, they're an experimental.
And before you know it, it's Friday morning.
Several days have passed,
and we kind of get that kind of transition shot where we see the sun and the moon going up and down in the sun mm-hmm. in the sky.
While Sex on the Beach
is
playing.
Three times.
Yeah.
and all this time, Chartreuse is kind of scooting a little closer. We can see a little closer to Greg. Gary?
Gary. You're Greg.
I'm Greg. He's Greg.
Gary.
Right.
So it's the morning of the bonanza. And they're like, well, we should probably get supplies. We just wasted several days. We haven't really done any planning. Then again, there's already a bonanza happening tonight. They've probably supplied their... bonanza, so let's just mooch.
Max says, guys, we should probably return the stuff that we got. That pirate said we were going to be cursed, and I don't want a pirate's curse. And Corey's like, nah, brother, this isn't what we're doing. We're going to the bonanza.
We're going to the bonanza tonight, brother.
And then we're going to live forever.
All right, and he starts bouncing around.
Right, on his pogo stick.
Which at this point, I still didn't know what it was.
I still thought it was really just a pogo stick.
Yeah. Yeah, I tell you, the wool was over my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So as he's bouncing around, everybody else they're kind of looking at their items, and they're like, well, what could make these things cursed? Oh well, we'll take them back anyway. So they take those back, and Corey's left there. He's left there with Lolly because Lolly is tired of jumping rope.
She's been doing it all week.
Yeah. She's been jump roping constantly. She's over it.
She is done. She sits down.
Yeah.
Well, Corey, what do you think the curse is on your pogo stick?
He says, I'm not scared. However he sounded. You remember Corey.
Yeah, that's it.
And we get another little transition tonight, because apparently there's just like nothing going on between
nothing
the moment they find
on.
This stuff and the bonanza. The film could not get to the bonanza sooner.
And yeah, and so we get that little transition, mm-hmm. and then it's nighttime. There are little fire pits set up everywhere on the beach.
Little tiki torches.
Corey's like is pogoing around the party. He's saying hi to people. He says hi to the lifeguard who's over by this big table, and he's like, "Yo, what's all of this?" Bro, and the guy's like, oh, these are a bunch of fireworks we're gonna set off at the end of the night. A huge amount of them. A dangerous amount, to be frank.
And Corey's like, right on. That's righteous. I heard there's free beer here. And they're like, no, it was a BYOB thing. And he snags some beer and he just starts pogoing around.
He pogos over to this other group of swimmers that are coming in from the water. And he's like, hey, what's up, dudes? And they're like, we just left the water because there are so many sharks out there today. Just dozens and dozens of sharks. I wouldn't recommend anyone go in the water. Corey's like, yeah, all right. I'm thinking of swimming later, though.
And he takes his shirt off in preparation.
Right.
And Mac is like, Listen, Corey, the pirate's here, man, and he's looking at you. He's been looking at you all night. And it's kind of
I think
weird.
That's his beer that you took.
I think that's his beer.
And he looks down. It's a big stein of beer.
It says Pirate's Pale
it's
Ale.
It's an old sailor stein. And Corey's like, yeah, all right. Well, you know, he could share. And he starts poking around. He's being a real piece of work here.
A real piece of dick.
Yeah. A real stick in the mud. Yeah. You know?
But he pogos over to the old sailor guy, and he's like, hey, man, welcome to the Bonanza. And the pirate guy is like, there's a storm on the horizon.
And Corey's like, yeah, but I was planning on swimming anyway.
And at that point, we hear a thunderclap.
Mm-hmm.
And the beach, that old Beach Boys song starts to play, the sea shanty one.
Mm-hmm.
And Corey, he starts to get a little worried. And he stops pogoing for a second, and he looks at the pirate, and the pirate, you know, gives him like a little like nod, like you got this coming.
A little nod, little wink.
Everybody else is still enjoying the bonanza, but the music does take a turn to that sea shanty. It's kind of eerie sounding,
mm-hmm.
And he turns toward the water. He's like, "All right, well I'm gonna go for a swim then." And he starts to get in the water. Immediately, sharks start mauling him.
They just tearing him, like, him limb sharks. From limb.
He's screaming, I'm an Oliver, and then he dies.
And he just dies. And all of his friends run up to the shoreline, mm-hmm. And they're like, oh shit, Corey, oh fucking shit. And they all look back at the
and Mac's like, I told him he should have given it back.
Oh, Mac, yeah. Always ribbing Corey, even
classic
in death.
Classic Mac. And they all turn, and they see up on the rocks, the pirate is there. The pirate kind of puts his hands up, well, one hand and one hook.
Mm.
A flash of lightning happens, and the pirate disappears.
And they're like, do you think we're all cursed, even though Corey was the only one who didn't take his item back? And I guess Lolly with her jump rope? And almost as if in answer to their question... Like, Cisco is struck by lightning and dies.
Boom, Cisco.
Right off. And so the other six of them are like, we have to take these items back right now. We got to bury them in the sandbox. And so they gather the pogo stick very cautiously.
Mm-hmm.
And they start to run down the beach. But as they're running, the fireworks show starts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not aimed up at the sky. It's aimed at them.
Right.
And the fireworks are zooming by, flying left and right. And that Beach Boys song, the really intense one, starts to play. It's called Burning Down the Beach.
Burning Down the Beach.
And
lots of heavy guitar.
And so they're running. Gary trips, and his guitar smashes below him.
Oh, my guitar!
And Chartreuse falls behind and says, Gary, no! And then a firework hits them both, explodes them. They both die.
That's the closest thing we got to confirmation that they were a couple.
Oh,
she seemed to care about him.
She seemed to care.
We're down to Darcy, Lolly, Mac, and Corbin.
Yikes.
So they're running down the beach. Mm-hmm. And Corbin falls in a big hole. Breaks his neck and dies. There's just a big hole dug on the beach.
He peats. They're dropping like flies.
So now we're down to Darcy, Lolly, and Mac.
Darcy, Lolly, Mac.
Mac's carrying the pogo stick and saying, God, I wish Corey had put this back when I told him to. That guy's always, and immediately, right at that moment, the pogo stick just stabs him, disembowels him entirely.
Turns on him.
And that's when we realize that the pogo stick was actually a Revolutionary War bayonet.
Oh, shit!
And the captain is standing at the top of the hill,
uh-huh.
And Darcy and...
Lolly.
They look up and they're saying, why are you doing this? And he says, yar, you never mess with another man's trash because it could be treasure. And he gives him a little wink. And the bayonet flies out of Mac. And onto his hook hand, and he has a bayonet for a hand now, and he starts stalking down the hillside toward them,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, we got to put the jump rope back, And as they're reaching the edge of the sandbox, Lolly gets stabbed through the back and lifted into the air by the bayonet
hand.
Keep in mind that the storm is still raging at this part. There's still lightning and thunder and rain. It's quite the cinematic scene. It's
practically a hurricane at this point.
There's still fireworks going off, being whipped around by the wind. And
that Beach Boys song is still going.
Uh-huh. Burning down the beach.
And he lifts her into the air. A strike of lightning. There's a low shot of the old sea captain with the bayonet hand lifting Lolly into the air, and Darcy is at this point on her hands
on the ground
and saying like, "Where's the jump rope? Where's the jump rope?"
And she sees that the jump rope handles are close to her, but that it's looping back around towards the pirate, and the pirate's kind of lumbering towards her.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets this idea. She's like, okay, he just needs to come a little bit closer. She says out loud.
And he says, "Yar, what did you say?" And he starts to get his ear toward her so he can hear her better.
Right. There is a storm going
on. And at that point, Darcy says, "Oh, nothing, you big dummy." And she picks up one of the handles and she whips it. And it kind of does this cool little twirl thing, and it whips up, wraps around the ear of the pirate, and she pulls it down, and that ear pops right off.
But she doesn't stop there.
Oh, no, no.
So she whips him again.
Yeah. She wraps it around his good hand, pulls, rips his entire arm off. He's like, "This is how I lost my other hand. This is why I cursed these items in the first place."
And he says, "All right, listen, I'm gonna leave you alone. I think you learned your lesson here. I'm gonna go." And she says, "Hold on," and she whips him on the leg, and his leg comes off.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "Yar, no," and he collapses onto the ground. And now Darcy's standing over him with the jump rope, saying, "I don't think you've learned your lesson, though." And right at that moment, blue and red lights start to flash on her face.
Mm.
And she says, "Oh, shit." The cops arrive, and they're like, "What's going on?" And we have the pirate on the ground, and he's like, "Oh, she's torturing me." And they're like, "Listen, you have another girl on your bayonet hand."
on a pogo stick that's a bayonet connected to your hand.
"Listen, we sympathize that it looks like you've had an arm and a leg ripped off, and it looks like you're missing an ear as well, but you're clearly a some sort of killer.
Some sort of murderous fella.
Yeah, a Jason Voorhees type."
And Lolly turns around. Lolly turns around and she's like, "Yeah, it's true. He is kind of like that. I'm still on my last legs here. I'm dying currently."
"Yeah, I am stabbed, but still kicking."
She kicks a little.
And so we get a mugshot of the pirate, a mugshot of Lolly.
And a mugshot of Darcy.
They're locked up in a...
They're all locked up in the same cell.
And
a lawyer comes up and he's like, "Hey, I'm the public defender. I have no idea what to make
of this."
He's like,
"Listen, did they read you your Miranda rights?" and the pirate's like, "Nar." And they're like, "Well, then you're free to go. If they didn't read you your Miranda rights, no crime here was committed.
This is open and shut.
So you all are free to go." And they're like, "Wow, public defenders are so amazing." And then they all jump in the air. And then the lawyer comes in and he starts singing a Beach Boys song. The one about
the law.
Yeah, about acquitting people. It's called I Never Want to Acquit Stop Loving You.
Acquit Stop Loving You, which is a bit of a confusing title.
But hey, this was a very experimental
album. It doesn't
roll off
the tongue, but boy, the Beach Boys sang it well.
Yeah, what a hit. We freeze frame on Lolly, speared on the guy's bayonet, the pirate guy, and Darcy, and we fade to black.
As the Beach Boys continue to play.
What a bonanza.
What a bonanza.
What a bonanza.
Yeah, so to answer your question, Allie, no, I did not guess that the pogo stick was actually a Revolutionary War era
bayonet
up until it became that.
That was actually a pirate's hand.
Yeah.
I didn't see it coming.
I don't know how you would have seen that coming.
Oh, no. Boy. There weren't a lot of hints.
Honestly, probably one of M. Night's weakest twists in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
This was one of his earliest ventures into filmmaking.
And it shows.
He did it for the Beach Boys album. It was supposed to be released alongside it.
Yeah, geez. And I gotta say, even being released with the album, like none of this makes sense. The film is out of left field just as much as the album was.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I really feel like M. Night tried his best. Like, Shyamalan, he had a very eclectic album to work with, where he had, you know, a love song, he had three beach songs, he had an intense, action song, and a sea shanty. Like, how do you tie those together in a way that makes sense? I don't know. I feel like he did an okay job.
Yeah, because this album by the Beach Boys, it wasn't like a concept album. There wasn't like a through plot to it, but he seemed determined to make one out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So should we just jump right into ratings?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's a whole lot else more to go into.
I'd have to give this movie, I don't know, a 5. It seemed like, you know, middle of the road. They did their thing.
I'm going to give this one a 3. I thought the ending felt a bit, just a bit strange when they suddenly are just like praising public defenders. I mean, like that's all fine and good, but it just seemed like suddenly a really significant part of the film. I guess it's because the album had that song about public defenders.
Yeah.
So he had to work it into the movie, but
yeah, the whole thing felt a little contrived. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I'd probably give this one an 8.
Mm.
You want to hear what my clone has to say?
Yeah, let's
see what rating he has to give it.
Clone, what do you think?
I'm Henry Harrison. Okay. All right, never mind.
That
never mind.
You son of a... If you say that one more time, I swear Greg, to God,
Greg,
I'm gonna...
Greg,
ooh, hold me back. Hold
settle,
me back.
Greg.
I don't know what it is, but that clone gets me. Ugh.
So I suppose our next step towards clearing up all the shenanigans going on in town and maybe getting back to some semblance of normalcy, we should probably go back to the where the factory exploded and see if we can track down Tommy.
Or anybody else.
Or anybody
else.
We
still
else.
Have no townsfolk.
We gotta find the rest of the Timber Delights.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's still a lot of factories down there. There's a lot of places you could hide.
You could
people.
Hide so many people in so many factories.
Right, and we also know that the town is on top of a series of underground tunnels. Those might also be part
of
it.
Oh my God, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
next
anyway,
week.
Yeah,
next, week.
Next time. Well,
all that and more on next week's episode of
Break Room at the Cineplex.
With the podcast boys.
With the podcast. Should we try to say all this in unison?
Break Room at the Cineplex.
Okay. Well, if you would like to submit a film for us to watch, like Allie did, feel free to reach out via email at cineplexpodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter at cineplexpodcast. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye, Allie. Bye. Thank you, Allie. Bye, Al.